ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We have to start this chapter 4 of Vedanta Treatise. It's entitled as Code of Living. While living in life, what are the most essential codes that one needs to follow at the level of the body, at the mind, and at the intellect level? And that is being discussed here. So, the very first topic in this chapter is Scope of Spiritual Education. Now, what is the scope of getting ourselves spiritually educated? A lot of us, you know, think that we are in spirituality, but are we in spirituality? Are we attaining the real scope of that particular education? So all that he discusses here. So with that, let's continue with this topic, scope of spiritual education. So who will read it? Anybody wants to read it?
No, Guruji, you only read it.
Okay. Scope of spiritual education. The world is in a state of spiritual decadence. The custodians of religion have largely contributed to it. They have stifled the human intellect, crammed the mind with irrational beliefs, and virtually denied spiritual education. It is a blunder being repeated over and over again in human history. In India, religious pundits boast of a mechanical mastery over Sanskrit language, grammar and construction. They merely memorize and recite countless verses of the language hardly understood by anyone. They learn to quote, twist and torture the old Sanskrit texts and claim a superiority over spiritual seekers who pursue the truth with original thinking and free reasoning. These pundits are content to tickle the wild humor of their fellow men. The mental energies of the youth are being lavished, wasted upon discussing and debating trivialities which are dubbed religious. The non-essentials of religion are highlighted by thoughtless religious leaders at the expense of its essentials. Interestingly, the followers are sincere. They blindly accept the authority of these religious heads, and they have developed such bias that superstitious symbols and rituals have become centers of deep-rooted practices. Such rank ignorance prevails in the name of religion. So first and foremost, he says that today spirituality or spiritual education is at the lowest level. People merely cram the information and they think they are being spiritual. So therefore he says, the reason for all this, he blames the custodians of religion or the so-called custodians of religion. So he says, the custodians of religion have largely contributed to this spiritual decadence. If there is spiritual decadence, whom is to be blamed? Who is to be blamed? He says, the people who call themselves as the custodians of religion, they are to be blamed. Why? Because instead of developing the human intellect, in the name of spirituality, the human intellect is stifled. Instead of encouraging original thinking, cramming of information, mastery over grammar and Sanskrit, these literatures have been encouraged. So he says, they have virtually denied spiritual education. It's a blunder being repeated over and over again in human history. People think they are more spiritual because they are chanting certain shlokas. They think they are more spiritual because they are doing certain pujas. They think they are more spiritual because they are attending such classes like we are doing. simply because you attend class or attend chanting sessions or chanting per se or doing rituals per se doesn't mean you are being spiritual. So he says in India, religious pundits boast of a mechanical mastery over Sanskrit language, grammar and construction. So basically he is saying in this paragraph that the non-essentials are highlighted vis-a-vis the essentials. The essentials ought to be understood at the material level, physical level, emotional level, intellectual level, spiritual level. What is essential at the material level? What is non-essential at the material level? What is essential at the physical level? What is non-essential at the physical level? Similarly, at the mental and intellectual and spiritual level. We got to understand that. See, what is more important is originally reflecting over the information received and converting it into wisdom so that you could practice it in life and benefit out of it. But there is hardly any importance given to it. Therefore, he says they merely memorize and recite countless verses of the language hardly understood by anyone. See, per se, by memorizing and reciting, nothing wrong. In fact, it may add to your spiritual journey. But by itself doesn't mean you are spiritual. That's all he's trying to say. He's not trying to say that you should not memorize shlokas, you should not chant, you should not do rituals. He's not saying any of that. He says, just because you have all this, don't claim superiority over spiritual seekers. First of all, we need to understand the word shrota. Shrota means one who seeks, the seeker, the student. The student is only interested in transformation, not mere information. Therefore, he says, without original thinking or free reasoning, people simply cramming certain shlokas claim themselves to be spiritual. It is a wastage of energy. The energies of the youth are being lavished, wasted upon discussing and debating frivolities which are dubbed religious. You know, getting too much into the grammar rules and all that, you know, they get involved in all that. Like for example, we do a text called Bhajagovindam. In the Bhajagovindam, how did the entire Bhajagovindam start? Why did Adi Shankara give Bhajagovindam first of all? Did we do Bhajagovindam in our class?
No, Guruji.
We didn't do Bhajagovindam?
No, Guruji.
Okay. Bhajagovindam is only 31 shloka. It is given by Adi Shankara. Adi Shankaracharya, when he was walking along with his 14 disciples on the banks of river Ganges in Varanasi, he saw an old pandit trying to memorize grammar rules. He was around 80 or 85 and he was memorizing grammar rules. Dukrin karane, dukrin karane, dukrin karane. Dukrin is the dhatu part. The meaning of the dhatu. Dhatu means root. The root of that word is doing. So dukrin karane, dukrin karane, dukrin karane. Like it's like somebody learning Hindi. Ek, one. Do, two. Like that. Going on memorizing. Dukrin karane, dukrin karane, dukrin karane. At the age of 80. Seeing that, Adi Shankara says, what a wastage of energy. At the old age, life is so uncertain that any minute the bubble can burst. Yet, at the age of 80, instead of focusing on the essentials, he's wasting his energy on the non-essentials. Seeing that, Adi Shankara started giving Bhajagovinda. He says, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Govindam Bhaja Mudamate, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam Bhaja. 3 times he says. 3 times because at the body level, at the mind level, at the intellect level. At all these 3 levels, we should only be seeking Govinda. Govinda, Go Shabd, has 3 different meanings. One is cows, one is earth, one is Vedas. So Govinda means the author of Vedas, the one who is to be known through Vedas. And Govinda also means One who maintains the earth, Lord of earth, one who elevates the earth. And then also a cowherd boy, which is Sri Krishna. And cows represent senses. So from that sense, Govinda means Lord of senses. One who elevates the senses and directs the senses. So instead of focusing on the reality, the truth, which is represented by Govinda, you are seeking all the non-essentials. Why do we have to study Bhaj Govindam? Why do we have to study Bhagavad Gita? Why do we have to study Vedanta treatise? It is to become a better person materially, physically, emotionally, intellectually and spiritually. That is the scope of spiritual education. Not memorizing and showing the skills of bank of information that I have. That is not the idea, right? Of just mechanically following certain rituals. Therefore he says, the non-essentials are highlighted at the cost of essentials. So that's why Adi Shankara was saying, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja. It's a beautiful, simple text. It's a preparatory text. It prepares one in life. It's a wake-up call. In fact, Bhaja Govindam is also called as Moha Mudgara. Mudgara means hammering, hammer. So, Moha Mudgara means hammering the truth and removing the delusion. Moha Mudgara, uplift of delusion. So the delusion that we are in, all of us are minimum, 40 in this class. 40 will be one or two in the 40s. Majority is above 50. And then we think we are going to live for a long time. Karenge, dekh lenge, bahut time hai, sochenge. So he says, what is the scope of spiritual education? Are you getting rid of your vasanas? Are you less egoistic, less egocentric? Is your mind under your control? Are you becoming more of an observer, witness? Or are you still being involved? These are the things that we need to check. Therefore he says, the importance is not given to all this. See, for a simple example, in fact, as a discipline, it's good if you take bath and have food. In Dinachara, we keep it like that, it's very good. In fact, psychologically also it helps. Now, once you have taken bath, even your mind, relatively speaking, compared to before and after. Relatively speaking, even your mind doesn't bring out a lot of negative thoughts immediately. Some kind of purity you feel. So it's good that way. But then as if that is spiritual, that even if there is some emergency, you cannot function without taking bath. Which means the mind is taken over. See, the very idea of spirituality is to rise above the mind. But even in the very spiritual field, the mind starts taking over. That's a problem. The big headache. Then you are not able to marry the principles, the philosophy, the information to a practical life. But on the other hand, in the name of practicality, you should not start compromising on everything. Anything is okay, sab chalega. I am not saying that. So, idea is to rise above the mind. Spiritual education should free us from the thraldom of ego mind. That is the real scope of education, especially spiritual education. It should make us independent with reference to the material world. It should make us self-sufficient. If you are growing spiritually, you should have become self-sufficient. You should have become self-contented, independent mentally, detached and not attached. and free from the clutches of mind and ego, the egocentric desires and the egoistic attitude. This is essential. But you may become very egoistic, saying, well, I have memorized all the three Vedas, I know all the three Vedas. My name itself is Trivedi. My name is Chaturvedi, I know all the four Vedas. So what? So he's trying to say, therefore, do not emphasize or highlight the non-essentials. You should focus on the essentials. And when this has been emphasized, the non-essentials, by the very custodians of religion, or the so-called custodians of religion, the followers who blindly accept that without questioning. In fact, in the fourth chapter of the Gita, verse 34, Sri Krishna says, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Know that from the Guru. Know that truth, know that reality. Gain that knowledge from the Guru. Through serving the Guru. Service. Pranipatena, prostration, devotion. Pariprashnena, questioning. And sevaya, service. Physical level, you must be serving the Guru. Guru doesn't need anybody's service. If he needs, if he or she needs it, then they are not Guru. Guru seva is very important aspect in sadhana. For us to keep our mind calm, composed, serene, and be ready to absorb the knowledge. And Guru Seva is another opportunity to be in the vicinity of the Guru. It is not only what he teaches or she teaches when they are sitting on the podium and lecturing. You understand? It's not only in the class. There is a lot to be learned through their way of living. So being in close proximity and association with the Guru, we learn a lot. So Guru Seva is for us. Forget Guru Seva. Jana Seva is also for us. World is not in need of your service or my service. So many prime ministers have come and gone in this country. And more will come also. And throughout the world also, so many so-called powerful presidents and everybody have come and gone. The world continues. So, world is not in need. I think somebody is like it. Sunanda, yeah. So, world is not in need of your service or my service. But by doing that service, our mind becomes purified. So it's for that mental purification. Very important part of sadhana. And then prostration to the Guru. Surrendering. That surrendering the ego and learning from the Guru. That is important. And then prashna. Prashna means questioning. Not accepting anything blindly. For that reason I am quoting all this. So if you don't question and simply blindly accept, you know, then where are you going to grow? You forget spiritually, even as a human being you don't grow. So therefore he says they blindly accept the authority of these religious heads and have developed such vast that superstitious symbols and rituals have become centers of deep-rooted practices. Buddha, Lord Buddha, has given many quotations. He says, do not follow any personality. Do not believe in any authority. He's saying that, Lord Buddha. Do not believe in any authority. Do not have any personality worship. These are all teachings of Lord Buddha. And if you see, many places you have Buddha's face, Buddha's tooth. Huh? I don't know what all you will keep. You become more superstitious. You got to do it 2-3 times. If you do just this, everything will be taken care of. Unconnected to the way of life that we lead. That's what he's saying. We have developed such bhayas, the superstitious symbols, and rituals have become centers of deep-rooted practices. Adi Shankara time and again says, rituals are only meant for purification of your mind. Please understand this. It is for purification of the mind. Karma, if it is done as yoga, it purifies your mind. If it is not done as yoga, you will develop a lot of punya. The punya will only take you to heavens, not to moksha. Therefore, do not get involved in these rituals, merely thinking that the rituals per se is enough. And if I do these rituals, I am spiritual. Every day I light the lamp. You don't light the lamp. I am more spiritual than you. This fellow may be getting up and studying in the morning, but that is not considered as spiritual. You do not light the lamp. You cannot be spiritual. So therefore, such rank ignorance prevails in the name of religion. So we need to check that if it is there enough. These are not discussed to condemn the world. These are discussed to see that we don't fall a prey to that. That's the scope of this topic. Otherwise we'll also fall a, you know, prey to these kind of things. See, when, for example, we also did Vishnu Sahasranama. Now, the thing is, we did Vishnu Sahasranama online. When you do Vishnu Sahasranama as a japa in person, you should try to do it within a certain time. Then you see, you know, the chanting and everything creates a certain vibration. It is meant for mental purification. It is meant for that purpose. You understand? Why is that Sahasranama japa being chanted? It is said in the Vishnu Sahasranama chanting itself. It is for the good of the individual and the world. But just by merely, you know, switching on your phone, YouTube, you play MS Subbulakshmi Ji's Vishnu Sahasranama in the morning. And then you go about doing all kinds of things. Doesn't mean you start becoming spiritual. But people think they are being spiritual. So he's asking us to check upon those things. Next paragraph. Education ought to promote a nation's agriculture, industry, trade, etc. More so must it render the individual's body active, heart pure, thought original. And spiritual education should instill living knowledge and culture into the people. Make them understand the truths of life through independent reflection. Imbibe the laws of living through verification in their own lives. Instead, spiritual education has come to mean a mechanical reading of ancient texts and blind reliance on authority. The spiritual gurus themselves have spent most of the time in straining these texts with their own commentaries called bhashyas in Sanskrit. From layperson to scholar, there is an unquestioned acceptance of these commentaries as final. As a result, even intelligent men and women have lost their reason and judgment. Without independent thought and reflection, the import of the scriptures becomes impossible to grasp. Thus, the sublime knowledge of Vedanta has been practically obliterated by well-meant interpreters and commentators. So, why do you get educated? Education is for what purpose? Animals only need training. Only human beings require education. Animals are governed by law of heredity, predominantly. Human beings are predominantly governed by law of adaptability. No doubt there is little bit of heredity as well. But human beings are more governed by law of adaptability. So we need to educate, question, and then progress in life. So through education, the industries will grow. It's because of the education, asking questions, we have these inventions and discoveries. That's what he says. Education ought to promote nation's agriculture, trading, industry, has to bring harmony without peace within. It needs to also, when you get spiritually educated, you need to become physically active, dynamic. A lot of people, when the head becomes heavy with too much information, they become hardly acting. Too much of discussions. You know, you see a centipede which has 100 feet. A centipede moves very slowly. Very slowly. 100 feet it has. Totally 100 feet. But then they move very slowly. Similarly, you have too many ideas, this, that, but hardly any action. Please know the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is when you have information. Wisdom is when you practice it. When you know that you have reached the cliff, you will not take another step. Because you know you reach the cliff, you take one more step, you will fall. That is called wisdom. Wisdom will be automatically converted into action. Wisdom and action are one and the same. So if you are educated and you are not dynamic, then you are not an educated person, especially spiritually educated. And secondly, the heart should be pure. You should have pure emotions. Your hands should stretch out in the service of people and the world at large. And your heart should expand with pure emotions. Your heart should expand with pure emotions. Your hands should extend in service. And your head should be involved in original thinking, independent reflection. Then you are being educated. The thought should become original, the heart should become pure, body should become dynamic. If you are achieving all this, then you are truly spiritually getting educated. So that's why it says spiritual education should instill living knowledge and culture in the people. See, certain things of the past, they did it in a particular way because it is to be done in those, in that day. But it's not relevant today. For example, sati. Now, sati could have been merely a superstition, or like some people say, it is because, you know, in the Kshatriya class, when there is war, a lot of men get killed. And the women become widowed. And then they are being, you know, overpowered by the invading invaders. So for that reason, they also jumped into the funeral fire. But that's not the case now. So you don't have to follow certain things. I'm just giving that as an example. So like that. Unless and until you connect it with the present and make it a living knowledge, not spiritual. It is just dead, no? The information is dead. It was given many years ago. It has to be brought alive. See, that's the beauty. With the same words given by some other master many, many centuries ago, is brought again by the Guru. The Guru is a living person in the present. So he or she, connecting to the text of the past, they bring the life out of it. Are you with me? That's why we say you got to learn it from a guru. So that you are able to connect the shastras to the living present. Otherwise, what is the use? Unconnected. Huh? Therefore, he says, you should imbibe the laws of living through verification of them in your own lives. When you are spiritually evolving, not getting addicted to the commentaries. Even here, you know, in the very beginning, you've seen Swamiji says, You should not get attached to celebrities. You should not get attached to personalities. You should be interested in the truth, not in the personality. Swami Ramakrishna says, message is delivered, kill the messenger. Messenger is giving the message. You got to get the message and practice the message. You may be grateful to the messenger. Don't get stuck to the messenger. He says, without independent thought and reflection, the import of the scriptures become impossible to grasp. So, we also started this class around sometime around 2010 or 11. Almost 14 years. 13, 14 years we've been studying. I honestly don't know how many of you are really sitting and studying at home and reflecting at home. I don't know. If you say, I don't have time, sir, it's your life, it's up to you. But unless and until you do independent reflection, you will not grow. You know, many times in the class also, we have had sometimes questions on Lord Rama. You need to question. If anybody tells me, you should not question, you should have blind faith, that's wrong. But when we question, we got to look at it from the total picture, not just the particular aspect. No. So therefore, when you look at it entirely in the situation, then you will understand. In fact, the word dharma is not to be understood as static. It is dynamic. Dharma is very dynamic. It cannot be static. Ultimately, the purpose of dharma is what? To bring peace within and without. Right? So you need to be learned, a good thinker. In fact, Muni means one who is able to think deeply. That is one meaning. Another meaning is one who is silent. Maunan Munihi. Manashilaha Munihi. So, Muni means one who is able to think deeply. So, only when you think deeply, you will be able to understand Dharma. Otherwise, you will be just following it in letter, not in spirit. That is a big problem. Next paragraph. The Supreme Truth is eternal. It is that which is the same in the past, present and future. It reveals itself to a seeker directly like any scientific truth. It needs no authorities to endorse it. Just as a scientific law gains no more weight by the testimony of eminent scientists, what is needed today is not commentator's dissection of old Sanskrit texts, but a clear enunciation of the truth embedded therein. The truth stands on its own. You need only to exercise your intellect to reflect upon it carefully until you understand it. Thereafter, verify its authenticity in your day-to-day living, just as a student verifies the knowledge of chemistry through experiments in the laboratory. Thus, you become well established in Vedanta when you find its truths working in your practical life. See, somewhere I read that after lecturing in America, when Swami Ramakrishna returned to Kashi, those days, you know, he had given tremendous lectures in USA, many different places in USA, many different scientists and all have got illumined by his lectures. Brilliant lectures. When you read that, which is given in that seven volumes, there are seven volumes, all his lectures, he never wrote any book. All his lectures were recorded by somebody, you know, and then they brought it out in the book form. It's there as In Woods of God Realization. It's called The Complete Works of Swami Ramakrishna, In Woods of God Realization. When you read those lectures, how incredibly he presents the truth. In one of the lectures, he talks about extrinsic and intrinsic illusion. Concept of illusion goes to the depth with tremendous examples. He elaborately explains it brilliantly. Such brilliant lectures he gives in America and comes to Kashi later on. In Kashi, he thought he will be very much welcomed. And actually what happened was the contrary. They asked him, okay, it's all fine, you lectured there, lectured here. Do you know Sanskrit? You know Sanskrit means not little bit. Are you a pundit in Sanskrit? When they found out that he is not a pundit in Sanskrit, they said, then whatever you speak, we cannot accept. This is just incredible. You know. So that's why Swamiji says here in this paragraph, the truth is eternal. It is that which is the same in the past, present and future. It is available to everybody. It's like television channels telecast at a certain frequency. If your television is tuned in to that particular frequency, you can receive it. So you've got to be attuned. Then you can get it. Otherwise you don't. In fact, most of the truths are brought out from within. It's not something that you understand from the text. See, texts are there. You've got to do sadhana. When you do sadhana, you will be able to draw the truth out of the text. Instead of just understanding the grammar and then arguing, you know. Like for example, the statement tattvamasi. They argue. Tattvamasi means this, tattvamasi means that. Hey, what tattvamasi means? Why are you bothered? Why don't you go within and see? But for that, bahut mehnat karna padta hai, and it's a different kind of a mehnat. Nobody is interested in it. So he says, it reveals itself to a seeker directly like any scientific truth. Anybody can find the scientific truth, isn't it? If they put in their effort, it needs no authorities to endorse it. Whether they endorse it or not, truth doesn't require anybody's endorsement. People in the beginning didn't accept that, you know, Earth is revolving around the sun. They were believing the sun is revolving around the Earth. But they didn't accept. Similarly, when it was said that Earth is flat, they didn't accept. And they said, they in fact stoned them, fellow. Stoned him to death. So, it doesn't require anybody's authority. Truth stands on its own authority. You got to understand it. So, thoda bahut, if you understand Sanskrit, it's good. Because all these texts are mostly in Sanskrit. In fact, there are also a lot of texts in Tamil language. You know, when you read Tamil language, it's rich in this kind of spiritual culture, literature. There's enough material. This one janma is not enough. There are many scriptures we have. So, you don't have to get put off. I didn't study Sanskrit, so what happens to me? You don't have to get put off. So therefore, he says, you need only to exercise your intellect, to reflect upon it carefully until you understand it and verify it in your day-to-day living and then make it your own. Your life is your laboratory. Whatever you study, you put it into practice and check its authenticity. That's all you need to understand. Next. Vedanta speaks of the supreme knowledge of life. You should gain that knowledge. Approach it with determination and consistency. Make good use of your present intellect to progress gradually in the path of knowledge. The way to more light is the faithful use of what you have. You may wonder how your limited intellect can gain the supreme knowledge. But it works like the headlights of your car. The lights can illumine the road only up to a few meters. But the same light can take you through hundreds of kilometers in the darkness of the night. Drive on. The light continues to illumine the entire path. You will reach your destination. Thus must you strive in the present. A little knowledge gained effaces a little ignorance. Keep moving. This process will take you to the ultimate truth. So he says, all that Vedanta talks about is the supreme reality, the supreme knowledge of life, which is essential knowledge, and you have a birthright to it. Nobody can deny it. And you should gain that knowledge. That supreme knowledge you should gain so that your life becomes more enriched. You'll be able to lead your life more peacefully and prosperously. Therefore, you must gain that knowledge. And you must approach it with utmost consistency. Not give it up till you reach the supreme. This is what we call a Shraddha. Shraddha means not just faith. Shraddha means faith plus conviction plus consistency. Till you bring about the transformation. You have faith in the words of the master, faith in the words of the Shastra. And you start reflecting on those words with a faith and develop conviction in those words. And it's not that you have taken it as a dictation by others. You have now convinced yourself through questioning. And with that conviction, you pursue it consistently till you bring about the transformation within. That's called Shraddha. So that's why he says, with a determined mind, you should pursue it. Not give it up. And when you continue, the question may come, hey, your intellect is very limited. How is it possible to go to the depth of the knowledge with this limited intellect? So this is a beautiful example. You're planning to go from Delhi to Chandigarh, about 250-300 kilometers. In your car, the car can only illumine maximum what? 50 meters. This is about 300 kilometers. So you have to travel 300 kilometers. How is it possible? You may wonder. Is it? If you continue, 50 meters will help you. 50 meters light, next 50 meters, like that you will finally reach 300 kilometers. Similarly, the way to gain more light is the faithful use of what you have. It's to put the faculties to use. If you don't put the faculties to use, what will happen? If you rest, you will rust. You know, intellect becomes dullened. Therefore, he says, make good use of your present intellect to progress gradually in the path. So he says, if you gain little knowledge, it will efface little ignorance. Like that, slowly, slowly you can get rid of your ignorance. See, when we wake up in the morning, the sun is not fully come out. Only a little bit sun has come out. But that is good enough for us to switch off all the lights in the house and outside as well. And walk freely. Similarly, even little knowledge that you gain after contemplating, thinking, that little digested knowledge itself is enough to take care of your life. Even if you are not self-realized and all that, it's fine. That little clarity itself will take care of your life. Too many things. We are more trusting the nimbu that is being tied to the car than the skill of the driver. You understand? This, when there is less confidence within, there are too many paraphernalia to satisfy it. All five fingers, you will have five rings, one for each planet, one for this, one for that. Huh? So, this is because you are not doing enough reflection. To do enough reflection, that knowledge will give you that inner confidence. Many things you can get rid of. You know, Ahukalam, Magandam, In a day, there is 1.5 hours Rahu Kalam, 1.5 hours Yamakanda. You are sleeping 8 to 10 hours. And then beautifying yourself and all that takes another 4 or 5 hours. Hardly there is left 10 hours. In the 10 hours, this 3 hours gone. Then what will you do? There is hardly any productivity. There is hardly any action. There is hardly any growth. Therefore, he says, even little light is enough to get rid of all this. Blind beliefs. You need to put in time and effort to learn and live the sublime truths of life. This is the difficult problem. You need to put in time and effort. You cannot employ somebody who will read and you will become spiritually evolved. Who will think and you become spiritually evolved. Not possible. You need to think. For which you need to put in time and effort. Practice them constantly. If you miss it, continue again. Doesn't matter if you missed it 1 day, 2 days. Get back. Study, reflect, verify the knowledge in your own life. This is very, very important. Not accept anything blindly. The path of truth is trying, difficult in the beginning. But you must continue your practice. In the beginning, it is not bringing out the fruits as you thought. Take time. Cross over the initial impediments and obstacles. There is a lot of challenges thrown out by your own mind. Yaar kuch nahi ho raha hai. Kyun karna? Chhod dijiye. Enjoy life like others. So cross over the initial impediments and obstacles. You will find the same path later becoming pleasant and easy to cover. Nature seems to help when you want to help yourself. Trials and tribulations, oppositions and obstacles are bound to come in your spiritual pursuit. They tease you if you are not endowed with a strong intellect. But with intellectual strength, you can overcome them. These are only seeming difficulties in your pursuit of truth. What he is saying is, you will not immediately get the results. You got to have patience. For the efforts to fructify, you got to have patience. You won't get immediate results. It will take time. But you must not give up hope and continue putting in your efforts. Mind will not cooperate in the beginning. It will tempt you to go astray. But you must try to control it and get back. He says, once you see through that initial phase, then you will be able to continue steadily. Nature seems to help and you want to help yourself. So trials and tribulations, oppositions and obstacles are bound to come in your spiritual pursuit. See, please understand, spiritual pursuit is what? Spiritual pursuit, as I mentioned to you, is rising above the mind and uniting with the self within. What is the nature of the mind? The nature of the mind is to be extroverted. To go outward. Isn't it? Mind, when it is left to itself, will be interested in gossiping. Will be interested in the entertainments. By itself, that is what the mind will be interested in. Now, the spiritual practice or education is to turn the mind inward towards the Atma, the self. So basically, we are shifting the mind from moving outward to inward. So then obviously the mind will rebel. You understand? The mind will rebel. And then it will bring in more oppositions. Trials and tribulations will increase. You will get headache, you will get this, you will get that. And then he says, you should bear with all those obstacles. They are bound to come. They tease you. If you are not endowed with a strong intellect, strong buddhi. You must understand, these are all the whims and fancies of the mind. Mind is trying to play tricks with you. And by playing tricks, it wants you to again become extroverted. Now it doesn't. See, it's like this, you know. If you are used to a certain comfort zone, why would you want to get out of the comfort zone? But anybody who continues to be in comfort zone never becomes grown. Never. Impossible. Even you are all business people, you will understand what I'm talking about, right? What they do, there are two sons. One son they send somewhere else, you go there. And the other son also initially has to go somewhere. Under a big tree, a small sapling will not grow. You've got to move away. Isn't it? So, to become strong. So, mind will demand comfort zone. And when you don't give the comfort zone, it will throw challenges. It will pressurize you to give that comfort zone. That means you are on the right track. If there are people talking about you, that means you are on the right track. If the mind started throwing a lot of obstacles, that means you are on the right track. You must continue. But you should not give in. Because if you give in, you won't grow beyond that level. One needs to grow out of the comfort zone. You know, even when we bring up our kids, we got to understand this. We throw them, we all the time give them the comfort zone and they become weak. You keep on pampering, they'll become weak. So that's what he's saying here. These seeming difficulties are there only in the pursuit of truth. They're only seemingly difficult. They're not really difficult. So he says, the right type of spiritual education anchors you in supreme reality. You ought not to be led. You ought not to let yourself be influenced by any school of thought. Not be impaired by concession or conformity to any institution, including this institution. You take in the truth of life as it reveals itself to you, not distorted with a religious bias that marks the true way of way to spiritual enlightenment. So, the right type of spiritual education should make you realize the self, should anchor you in the supreme reality. Don't get influenced by any school of thought. Don't get attached to any institution. Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was not even an ordinary member of Ramakrishna Mission. Around Swami Ramakrishna, the institution was built. He was not even an ordinary member of that institution. So like that, when you live the knowledge, many institutions may be built around you. But you don't become attached to any particular institution. You got to understand the truth and realize the truth. That's the scope of spiritual education. Next week we'll study the elements of right living. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Yeti Samarpayami.